North Rock Podcast.
Good morning, everyone. It is so good to be here with everyone. And man, we are loving being here in the Denver area. We drove in yesterday. We left Friday afternoon from Southern California, right outside of L.A., and we don't live in L.A. We live outside of L.A., just about 50 miles. And we drove like gangbusters getting out, but then we hit about 10 miles outside and hit traffic. Okay, does that sound familiar? If like the whole Southern Cal area, is anybody familiar with that area at all? And it took us hours just to get out of there. And then we got to Cedar City that night, late, got up and then jammed all the way here. And so we have had, but we stopped for a couple hours in Vail. Is that a good place to stop on the way here? Okay. It took our breath away, how beautiful it is there. They were having some festival there for a GoPro, and it was great just to walk around. But we're here with you, and I am so thankful. You know, Pastor Chad is a dear friend. Actually, I spoke here, I think it was back in 2002. When Pastor Sam Rockwell was the pastor here, and that was some years ago. And coming back here, it's special for me because now I get to speak with you with my wife, and now we are one voice. We'll explain a little bit more how our story has gone through the years and has come to this place of where we are today. And God has done a miracle. Does anybody believe in miracles? Raise your hand, okay? Well, good. We're going to tell you a modern-day miracle today because we believe that God is in the new beginnings. Who believes in new beginnings? All right, well, good. Then we all believe in mulligans, right? Everybody gets a second chance, okay? And third chance, fourth chances, and so many chances that God continues to pour out his grace to us. And so we want to talk to you about that today and what the Lord has done. But would you join me in prayer first before we start? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to come and just be with you, be in your presence. But Lord, I pray that it would be a time that we would be able to talk about what you have done, what you are doing, and the promises of what you're going to do. And so, Lord, we stand here today, all of us, open, our hearts ready to receive. And I pray that you would bless each and every person in this room today. I pray that you would just prepare already, right now, what you want to do in their hearts. And God, I pray that we would be people that would be receptive to that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Before we go any further, I'm going to just do this up front so we don't have to do it later. Tara and I, we wrote a book that we're going to tell stories out of it, things out of it that you'll be able to receive today. But it's called Exposed, and we'll explain what that means in a couple minutes, actually. But it's a journey of renewal and hope, and it's a two-sided book. I love it. We thought, let's be creative on this. And so you look at it's always two sides of the story, correct? All right, you can't ever just take one side. We have three daughters, all right, and two are sitting up here, and this is Elise and Grace, and we have a third daughter at home who just graduated. Her name is Rachel. And so, but we always know when conflict is in the home, there's always two sides of the story. Now, don't just take one side, right, and believe it as truth there. And so we have to investigate. Well, we investigated our story, and we told our story in a two-sided way. And so you look at Terry, this is her side, 8 chapters goes through, and then what happens, you flip it over, and then you have my side. And so we worked this through, and we did this so marriages can walk through individuals. You don't have to be married just to read this, all right? But individuals, if you want to lay a good foundation for your life, it's a great book. I'm not just saying that to sell them, but we did this. We poured hours and hours, days and days, and even months into this book so that one, people can walk in freedom. All right. And then we wrote a study guide, and we'll be out there with it outside that goes with it. I would encourage you because these resources, we've walked through fire. Has anybody ever walked through fire before, okay? And God carried us through those challenging times and has remained us to be one in spirit and in marriage, okay, so that we can tell our story and so that we can share with others and say, let us share some truths with you so that you can have a foundation to walk in and walk with. We also have a DVD series there. It's called the Conquer Series. Has anybody ever heard of the Conquer Series here? Well, good. This is an incredible resource. Dr. Ted Roberts, he's a clinical psychologist, therapist from the Portland area. He walked us through our story for a whole year. And this DVD series is talking about the epidemic of pornography abuse and social media and all the stuff that's taking place on the brain. And it's an extensive process, but it's also a great series to walk through with other people. So in marriages or your kids, if you have kids that are anywhere near teen or 20-something, they're struggling dealing with social media and pornography. I'll just tell you that right now, because they say over 80% of young men are struggling with sexual addiction right now, 80%. And 70% of all men, all right, and 50% of pastors nationwide are struggling with sexual issues right now, okay? This is a great resource, and there's a study guide that goes with it as well out there. But we'll be out there afterwards. We just want to get that over, so we want to make sure to meet you. We'll be out there that you can pick up those resources. So we're here together, and so let's tell our story.
That's right. Well, and I know that it was just mentioned that we would also be here on Saturday night, and I just want to encourage you. We travel around the nation currently, and we've been different leaders within our denomination. And it's amazing because the issue of marriage is one that a lot of times we say, and we are guilty of this as well for many years, we're just too busy to kind of deal with it, or we don't have the money to invest in maybe some third-party kind of counseling if we're dealing with issues within our hearts or within our behaviors. And a lot of people just kind of put it to the wayside. But we're here to just really encourage you, not only to get the places in our life where we need to get a little bit better, even if we're doing well, but if you know a neighbor or if you have a friend or a family member who is struggling, they should be here.
That's right.
Not because we are the experts, but because they need to hear that they are not alone.
Yeah.
And they need to hear, and maybe you need to hear this morning, that that God really does have something for each and every one of us. Mm-hmm. And so I'm asking you in this room to see Saturday night as not only a great way for you to grow, but for you to reach out to somebody in need.
That's right.
Because our world is desperate for help, especially in this area. Mm-hmm. And we do have a story to tell. Mm-hmm. We did pastor in Hawaii for a season, and the Lord, we always say that the people of Hawaii are closer to heaven because they were just the sweetest, nicest, kindest people, obviously in a beautiful setting. But what we learned to do in Hawaii was something called talk story. Mm-hmm. And what that is just the simply being able to share what's going on in your life and in your heart with those around you. And it always involved food.
Yeah.
So, isn't that great? So this morning, though we will not include food in this service, what we are wanting to do is to talk story with you. Mm. Because we want you to leave here feeling encouraged and full of hope and maybe even challenged.
Yeah.
Because that's what the Holy Spirit does in our life.
That's right.
And I know that there's probably some here in this room who have a big T testimony like us. Mm. Where you can say, God met me in the most difficult of circumstances, whether they were thrust upon me or where they were something that I chose to be involved in. You can say, God is the overcomer, and I am here to say that he is a God of miracles.
That's right.
But I know that there's probably also some here this morning who are in a place of waiting or in the place of seeking and maybe in a place of brokenness. Mm. And you're like, Lord, when is my prayer going to get answered? Mm-hmm. And I want you to know that I see you and I acknowledge you as well. Because
right.
I sat for many months in that place wondering, God, do you hear the deep places in my heart that are broken?
Yeah.
And sometimes we gloss over that. But he is who he says he is.
That's right.
And sometimes our expectations are not what we wanted necessarily to see, but what he creates in our life is always better. And when you say better in Christ, you have to have a deep sense of understanding. Better in Christ isn't always what our expectations are.
That's right.
But better is eternal. And so we understand the broken road that leads to Christ, even if we knew him on the journey.
Yeah.
And so our story is simply a story of brokenness and renewal.
Mm.
When I was a child, I never thought that my story, when written down on paper, would when it was read for people to read, that it would ring of a marriage betrayal or walking through issues of addiction with the ones that I loved, or the loss of just about everything.
That's right.
But I also know that when my story is read now, it is a story that God is alive in. And he's alive because I just had the heart to let him.
Yeah.
And our message is simply this, that there is hope and you are not alone.
Yeah.
And I know that sometimes when you're walking through difficulties, it can seem like no one understands.
Yeah.
We know that very deeply. And I know that this story this morning, you're thinking, I came to church this morning to hear a happy story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're going to hear a happy story because God is who he says he is.
That's right.
But getting there for us went through a lot of difficulty. And he loves us too much to leave us the way that we were.
That's right.
And so he brought us through a great journey. But I know, and I know that this is going to encourage someone here today, that I was broken when I found myself on the receiving end of what seemed like a sentence for just death in my life. But Jesus called to me from my future. He called to me from what he knew would become.
Mm-hmm.
So those of you who are sitting here this morning and thinking, there's a part of my life, doesn't have to necessarily be your marriage, but there's a part of my life that seems dead or that has been stripped away or stolen, or I feel the loss of something. And my encouragement to you this morning is that you, number one, are not alone and there is hope, but that Jesus is calling you from your future, from what you may not see now, but he has control of and he can see come to pass. And so I want to encourage you as we do kind of unfold our story to get your seatbelts on and allow the Holy Spirit to do something new.
Yeah. Well, so many people would sit here and think, oh my goodness, betrayal, addiction, those are pretty strong terms. And it would suck the air right out of your lungs, maybe because it's impacted you directly. Maybe you have struggled with this or have been affected or impacted by somebody who has lived their life and has drug you through this. Well, I was the one who did that. I was the one who was unfaithful. I was the one who was addicted. I was addicted to pornography. This is something that just drove me into the ground. You might think, wow, do we talk about this in church? If we don't talk about it in church, where are we going to talk about it? And so this is a real issue that it started when I was, you know, average age boy that views pornography is between ages 8 and 11 years old. That's when the average boy starts to see it for the first time. Now you think, oh my goodness, it's a reality out there that our fourth and fifth graders that are being impacted by the junk of this world. The enemy has a plan to take out men, and the enemy has a plan to take out women, but the enemy has a plan to take out marriages. Because this is important for us to understand as we walked through this. We are pastoring a church of 10,000 people at the time. We were running. I was preaching 7 times on a weekend, on Wednesday nights, Friday mornings. And I was running. I was running. I was running. I was preaching. I was preaching. And thousands of people were coming to Christ. Great things were happening in the name of Jesus. But James was dying on the inside. I was sleeping 4 hours a night. I was going through a time of trying to outrun my sin, outrun the things that I was ashamed of. Because my shame factor was so high. And in the church, there's no way I would tell my story. I couldn't tell anybody. Because if I told somebody, I would be kicked out of life. Well, God loved me so much that he ran me off a cliff. Everyone notice that? That God loves you so much, he doesn't allow you to continue. And he spoke that, James, I love you so much, but I'm not going to allow you to stay the same. I'm going to now let you run off that cliff, but I'm going to catch you. And then you're going to have a choice. You're going to run off my hand or you're going to run into my heart. You can come towards me. And I made the decision, I can't do this anymore at the age of 40 years old. I can't do this. I have to run to Christ. I cannot live this way any longer. I had to hit rock bottom. Because if I don't go towards him, I'm going to keep going deeper, deeper, and deeper into my selfishness of what I want to help fulfill my need, that pain inside. And so God has been so faithful in this process. Because when we speak of this, we don't just speak lightly about this. We speak with great responsibility to tell you this is what the Lord can do. I don't know your story, I just know ours. But I know what God can do to your story. He can change it, he can take what the enemy meant for destruction, and he can turn it for his good. Can I hear an amen on that? All right, is it okay if we say amen around here? Is that all right? We can get kind of a little charismatic on that, all right? We can't get crazy about it. I don't want anybody hanging from the lights, but we're going to say amen on that kind of stuff, all right? Because this is good stuff. Because God wants to do a work in your life. I don't know where you're at, but I know this. If 70% of men across the nation are struggling with pornography, I know people are being impacted right now, right here in this room. I know that kids are. I know marriages are. I know marriages aren't perfect. And so we are an example of what wasn't perfect and what God has redeemed for his good. All right? And we're going to walk you through that because I believe as you understand that, then you can have hope. Who here wants hope for your life? Who here wants hope for your kids? You might have grown kids. You're thinking, oh my goodness, look at their marriage. Look what's going on in their life and their personal life. And God wants to give you hope. Your marriage might be okay, but somebody else you don't that you know, their life is in shambles. And you grieve over them. It's like, God, do a miracle. God wants to give you hope today too. Amen. And so as we walk through that, we want to walk you through not just to tell you our story. We want to bring you along a story that Jesus walked, that we can make a strong connection with, because we met somebody on our journey. We went through a recovery process. It took us a year to walk through recovery, all right, of all the stuff that we had to work through. Now we're living a lifelong restoration. Does that make sense? We recovered our marriage, but now we're restoring until we meet Jesus, until he comes. Because I am not perfect. My wife is not perfect. And let me just be honest with you. You're not perfect. So we're all in restoration until Jesus takes us home and we are perfect. Okay? So restoration is a part of life. But we met somebody on this process that was so dear to us because every day we would spend 4 to 6 hours a day in our recovery. That we would be in our homework, what we're doing, or with our counselors and Dr. Ted and Diane. We'd be in small groups, and we would be 4 to 6 hours a day, every single day of the week, 365 days that year in recovery. And then we went through this process, and I got to tell you the story and how it all ended that year. Because my wife said to me, you know what, God told me to walk with you, James, but I'm not called to stay married with you. What? That hurt so bad, but the Lord reminded me, just trust me, James, trust me on this. So my wife walked through with me in my brokenness for one full year. And we went and we sought the Lord and we went through the diligent work that we had to find out what was broken. I was a mess and I was broken inside. And we walked through that recovery. And then all of a sudden at the end of the year, she said to me, you know what, you can start dating me again. I was so excited. So I asked her out on a date. We went to Malibu. We walked on the beach. And I remember holding her hand. I felt like I was back in high school again. I had the chills all over. I'm like, this is great. I'm holding her hand again, and it was real. And then she says, you can marry me again after a period of time. And we had a ceremony where 100 people came, and those who really supported us and stood by us in our time. And it was 100 people in a circle, and we had four aisles. And my girls were at each of the aisles. My wife is at the end of the fourth one. And I went back, and I walked down each aisle, and I asked each daughter, will you come back into covenant with me and God the Father? And they with tears down their face, yes, Daddy. And I walked him each to the middle, and then I went to Terry, got on a knee. I said, will you come back into covenant with me and God the Father? And she said, yes. And we came back as a family into covenant with each other and God. And now we're living a lifelong commitment to one another and God. See, God wants to do a healing work in you. And we met this person on this journey that made such an impact on us and in us that I want to introduce you to her today. Many of you know her. You've read about her. She's very popular in the Bible. It's in the Gospels. And so I'd like for you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 7 if you have your Bibles. If not, we have it here on the screen here that we want to walk you through because it's important for you to hear the scripture being read and also understand how it applies to you. Luke chapter 7, there's a woman. We don't know her name, but there's a woman who had an encounter with Jesus and she became a friend of ours on our journey. And she helped us understand what it is to come to Christ with a broken heart. It says here, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and he reclined at a table. And then it goes on and says, when a woman who had lived a what? Let's say that again, what? A sinful life. It doesn't even define who she is. It doesn't give her a name. It just defines her as a woman of sin. Okay? A sinful life. In that town, learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. She brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and she stood behind him at his feet, weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. And then it goes on and says, then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man, he is so arrogant, Simon was so arrogant, All right, let me just tell you right now, for him to say it this way, it's like, ugh. All right, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Can I just be honest with you? I think Christians need to let sinners touch them more. And we need to be touching sinners more, right? Because we all are sinners. Can I hear amen on that? All right, there is no hierarchy in the kingdom of God. There is no platform. We all stand at the footstool of Christ. Does that make sense? It's important for us to understand that. Then it goes on and says here, oh, no, we're going to stop right there. Because I think it's important for us to understand what this woman taught us. Because if you look at this passage, this woman, she's come, but she wasn't invited. She came to a party that the Pharisee was putting on. Now, understand, Pharisees, they had a lot of money. They had servants. They had people there. Okay, and so these two people, the Pharisee and this woman, were both untouchable. One was untouchable because he made himself untouchable. The other was untouchable because she was a sinner and her sin made her untouchable. See, I relate to both of them. My sin made me untouchable. But I could put myself in the shoes of that Pharisee as well and look at people in my life and say, I would never say this out with my mouth. But I would have said this, they're dirty, they're sinful, they're broken. Both people were untouchable. But one walked away changed. One walked away forgiven, and the other one didn't. As we look at this and we see how one was transformed, this kind of just confused me at this point because I was thinking about this scripture. How in the world did this woman get to the feet of Jesus? If this Pharisee defined her as a sinful woman, how did she get past the host at the front door? How did she get past the guest or the other guests and all the servants? She must have been a little familiar, or they were familiar with her. They knew who she was. They allowed her in there. But then all of a sudden, judgment came upon her life. But Jesus turned around and gave forgiveness. And I think this is important for us to understand this woman's story because as we relate to her, there's something here that she can relate to you in your place as you relate to her and how God wants to touch us.
Well, James is correct. We feel like we know this woman and we're excited to see her someday when we go to heaven because we say that we walked with her. Anybody who's gone through an extensive process in your life of recovery where you set aside time and you say, Lord, heal me. You start to read the word differently. You start to read the word as if it truly is the bread of life because you're dying inside and you're thinking, Lord, let your word be true because everything else in my life feels like it's falling apart. And so we'd read this story and we're like, Lord, look at the way that she came to you. And it's interesting because, I wrote this on my side of the story, the Lord really met me in the very beginning of our journey. And he told me in the depth of my heart that all would be recovered. Now, at the time, I didn't know what that meant. And probably for a few seconds, I thought, cool, that means in a few months, everything's going to be back to normal and we'll just do everything the same. But what the Lord was saying to me was that he was going to recover my heart. And he was going to recover the Terry that he created before a lot of life had wreaked havoc. And he was going to restore to James the beauty of the creation that he made him to be before a lot of the abuse that happened in his early childhood that was kind of uncovered through our process. A lot of the things that he kind of kept hidden and almost forgotten. Mm-hmm. A lot of the origins of pain. All those things, then he brought him to this beautiful creation. Yeah. And he recovered. And so I know there's probably someone even in this room who goes, well, I've gone through something really horrible and maybe my marriage didn't recover. Or maybe I didn't have something. This story is still applicable to you.
That's right.
Because I want you to know that the Lord restores.
That's right.
And so sometimes our storyline isn't what we thought, but he restores. Yeah. And what he's showing us through this beautiful woman is that she postured herself properly before Christ.
Yeah.
And so the first thing she showed us is that she worshiped, or you can superimpose surrendered if you're taking notes, you can superimpose surrendered under worshiped. And she worshiped or surrendered boldly. Now, I love this about this. Because if you knew anything about the time that this was written, a woman who had sin or was known to be sinful in this community would not have waltzed into a party given by a Pharisee. Hmm. So though they may have been familiar with her, it took a level of boldness to get through the door.
That's right.
Because she could have been thrown out. She could have been stoned. There was a lot of things that could have happened. And she went through those barriers. And I had to go through a barrier of, you know what? This happened to me. So I am justified in my anger.
That's right.
And I had to let it go and say, God, you know what? I won't be a good mommy. I won't be a good grandma someday. I won't be a good neighbor, aunt, wife, whatever I am. I won't be a good anything if I don't give you my heart.
That's right.
The anger, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, all the things. And so I had to go boldly, even though I didn't understand what the outcome would be. And I know there was two things, I think, if I knew her in that time. And I can relate to it. And there's two things I think that helped her in this boldness. And I think the first one is that she had nothing to lose.
Yeah.
How many of us would say, I want to see this happen in my life, but... And then we just don't do it. Or we have some kind of barrier. But when you have nothing to lose, or you realize you really have nothing to lose anyway, because it's all from God, yeah. All the good things, then you go, Christ, do this in my life.
Yeah.
And it's really important to remember that, is that we need to go boldly.
Yeah.
And the second thing that she showed us within this boldness is that she believed Christ could do it. And so there's got to be an element of faith here.
That's right.
So if you're dealing with something and you're thinking, oh, I'm here to tell you, have faith in Christ, because he can do more than you can ever imagine. The second thing is that she worshiped humbly. She came to the Lord. He's there. This beautiful representation of who Christ was. He was there. He's in the middle of this Pharisee's home, yeah. Having dinner, being confronted, and yet there's Jesus in this calm state. She comes to him. You see in the passage of Scripture that she is in a humble state.
Yeah.
She's weeping, and she's pouring perfume on him. She's giving of herself. She's not in a posture of, I deserve this healing. I deserve to be forgiven, and so you will do this. Mm-hmm. Her posture is, I know you can, and I submit and humble my heart to you, Jesus.
Right.
And he responds to her. What's beautiful is that she touched Jesus, but what's even more beautiful is that Jesus allowed her to touch him.
That's right.
He's God. He allowed this sinful woman to touch him. And that shows you how much he loves us, yeah. No matter what state we're in. And so she worshiped, or she surrendered humbly. And the third thing that she showed us is that she worshiped or surrendered honestly. Now, in our recovery, the thing that really helped us more than anything is that when we got to the point where we could be honest with one another. Do you know that the depravity that happened in our marriage didn't happen overnight? That we were married 20 years before this all went down. Do you know that it happened just one little tiny decision at a time?
That's right.
And so there were deep, deep places of woundedness in my life that I had since I was a child. There was deep places of woundedness in him. And you know what? We thought we had to be perfect. We thought we had to be perfect to be called Christians. And so we never talked about it. Mm-hmm. That there was deep sadness in me about certain things. And there was deep fear in him about things. And you know, when we started going through this recovery, I was able to say, you know what? I'm feeling this way and I need to talk about it. And then he had enough surrender in his life to say, I'm not afraid for you to tell me what's going on in your heart. And then we talk about it. Mm-hmm. And then Christ came right into the middle of what the enemy tried to divide.
That's right.
And so honesty, not just the honesty that says, hey, you look nice today. Well, thank you. I'm going to work now.
Yeah.
It's the honesty that says, we need to do this. The enemy's coming in. Yeah. Or I see this in our kids and we need to take this on. Or I am struggling in this area. That's honesty.
Yeah.
It's messy. And then we got honest within our church. And it was wonderful because then we started telling our story. And then we were asked by a publisher to write it down. And it's interesting. When we start telling our story and being honest, people start being honest. And it's like, isn't this how church is supposed to be? It's wonderful.
You know, Terry, I wanted to go over the grace as well that goes with it. Tell us about being honest and with grace as we would do that.
When we started, you know, again, this process was not just, it sounds super easy, right? But it was definitely long and arduous. But the Lord really showed me as I was walking in a place of safety, if I was not safe, I would have left. Mm. So that's very, I'm going to be very clear with that. But I was safe and I had wonderful accountability, great pastors, great therapists that we were working with. But I would say to James, I'll give you grace if you give me truth. And then he would give me truth and I would extend grace. Yeah. But I have a hard time if you're not going to give me truth. Because after trust has been broken, that's difficult. Yeah. And then he would say the same to me. I'll give you grace if you give me truth. Because there were things that were messed up in my life too.
Yeah.
So we were working on that. And grace and truth. You can't just say grace, just do whatever you want. It has to be met with truth. The truth of the word of God.
That's right.
And of the Holy Spirit and how you walk with that. But there also just can't be truth without grace.
That's right.
You have to have both. That's who Jesus was. And that's how this encounter showed us. And we now are restored pastors. We both are ordained within our denomination. And some people would say, oh, you know, you just should have been disqualified for life. No, that's not how God works.
No.
And so it's beautiful, the redemption. God did restore all. It just looks different.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm okay with that.
That's right.
And I think that this lady was too. So she walked out changed. And the last thing that she showed us is that she worshiped or surrendered extravagantly or wholeheartedly. It says that she put perfume on his feet. Now, that's extravagant. See, we don't understand in our day and time. We think, oh, yeah, that's cool. Just go down to the mall and buy like a $50 bottle of perfume, whatever. This was probably an entire month's worth of wages for her. And she was bestowing it upon him. That's extravagant. She was extravagantly giving of herself. And so I just want you to take a second, whether you have to, you know, 20 seconds, whether you have to close your eyes or not. What is it in your life that could be a barrier between you extravagantly coming before Christ?
Yeah.
Because we hear every excuse in the book, and we had some of good ones ourselves. And I can tell you right now, I'd pay $1 million to spend $500 10 years ago on counseling. Does that make sense? But I didn't. And we didn't. And so I look back on that, I think, there was a barrier there. That was fear.
Yeah.
Because we thought we had to be perfect. And if people knew that we were struggling, then we would somehow be known as bad Christians.
Hmm.
But the bottom line is Christ the whole time was saying, come on, it's okay. You might need someone else to help you ask those hard questions in your heart.
Yeah.
You might need someone to dig a little deeper. It's okay.
That's right.
And so she showed us some wonderful things. I hoped that she's shown you that as well.
That's great. Well, I'd like for us to go a little bit further in that story. And we're going to end this way because I want you to understand the dynamics of this. Because when I read the Word of God now, it doesn't just become text to me. It becomes revelation. I step into that story and I have to put myself into the shoes of each character that's being talked about. And so I have to describe this a little bit deeper so that you understand what Terry and I are talking about. Because I know that every person here is broken because we're fallen, all right? We're broken people in this world. And God's the Redeemer, all right? And he sent his son so that you can be restored. And so as we talk about this, you have to put yourself in the shoes of somebody in this room, in the story. And so let's go on and finish talking about this through scripture. It says, Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher. He said, two men owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he canceled the debt of both. It says in verse 40 to 43, it says, now which of them will love him more? Simon replied, well, I suppose, he's probably stuttering, because Jesus was really good at this. He was really good at putting people in their place. I love that. With grace and love. All right. He says this, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. He says, you have judged correctly. You have judged correctly. So he says, then he turned towards the woman and he said to Simon, do you see this woman, Simon? He goes, I've come into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet. Sorry, that fee is a feet, okay? But she wet me with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Do you understand the dynamic of this? This woman was moved to the point of crying so much that she would cry so much the tears would flow that she was able to wash his feet. Let me just tell you right now, they did not have clean feet. They had dirty feet. Jesus, even though he was God, had nasty, stinky feet. He walked around in sandals. And so this woman went to the place of vulnerability and came and washed his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Then it goes on and says this, "You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much." For she loved much. "But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace, Jesus said. Let me just say to you today, this is what God is all about. This is the gospel in a nutshell, is this passage of scripture. I don't know any other passage really that describes this in detail and expressive. That Jesus would come. He would humble himself. He's there. He puts himself in the enemy's camp. And this woman walks into the enemy's camp and humbles herself. And Jesus forgives her and sets her free. Do you understand this? Do you see the picture? Do you see what God has done for you? Let me describe it a little bit differently. Terry, can you move your chair over here? Andrew, can you do me a favor? Can you stand like right there? Is that all right? Now, Terry is going to be, this sounds horrible, but she's going to be an illustration of the sinful woman, all right? We don't have a name. I can't call her Cindy, all right? And I can't call her Terry, all right? So she's going to have to be the sinful woman today. And she's far from it. She's a godly woman, all right? So I married out of my league. Okay, but here we go. One of your pastors here, he's Simon the Pharisee. Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
All right, you play that. Okay, there we go. All right, he's Simon the Pharisee, all right? And this is horrible, but since I'm the one talking and telling the story, I'm Jesus. All right, I know that's like, wait, it's like you set this up. Well, yes, I did. Okay, so here we go. You got to understand this story being played out here. So all of a sudden it says that Jesus stood up, right? It says that in the scripture. He stood up and he faced the woman while talking to Simon the Pharisee. First of all, I love how Jesus did this. He doesn't even really acknowledge the arrogance, okay? He turns his back on the arrogance. He didn't turn his back on Simon. He still died for him. You understand that? But he's showing him something here. He turns his back and he looks at the woman. And he says, "Simon, do you see this woman?" That's the word he used, the words he used. "Simon, do you see this woman?" Now, Andrew, do you see my wife? Do you see my back? Me. Yeah, so you see, you can't see her. You see me. Do you get this? Church, can I just ask you to open your heart to the gospel right now? The gospel of redemption. The gospel of hope. No matter who your accuser is, no matter what you have done in life, no matter what path you walked on, Jesus stands in the gap and he validates you by looking you in the eyes. And he turns his back on the accuser. The devil, just bear with me. Yeah. The devil himself, and says, "Simon, see my back? I'm going to carry the cross for this woman. I am going to carry the cross. So I stand here today. You cannot anymore, no more, can you see her alone. But you have to see her through me. You see her forgiven, not as a sinful woman anymore." You get that, Simon? I'm telling you something. She's forgiven. You got to get this. This is the gospel in a nutshell. Here's Terry, my wife, my beautiful wife. Now you're God the Father. Is that a step up?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, good. Okay, we redeemed his story, okay? All right. And now I'm still Jesus. So I wrote the story. I'm playing it out here, okay? Here's God the Father. And all of a sudden, there's going to become a point where Terry goes to a point of judgment before God the Father, right? The scriptures are clear. We will have to give an answer someday. And God the Father, he's going to say to his son, "Tell me about my daughter. Tell me about Terry here." And this is the gospel. Jesus stands here and goes, "Father, she's accepted me." And the God the Father will look through his son to us as forgiven. Does that make sense? Thank you. Do you see how God wants to restore all? Do you see? It's not church. We're not playing church. We're coming to Jesus humble. We can't do this on our own. But we have to accept him as he stands in the gap and says, you're forgiven. Go and sin no more. And he walks the journey with us. Because he says this, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And so for the rest of your life, you walk forgiven. See, as we look at our lives and our story, we stand forgiven. Our marriage stands whole. We can tell the story because it's an example of what God can do in you. God is a restorer. Amen. We believe we have the greatest love story ever told. And we stand here and we'll tell it over and over and over again. But I'll tell you that this love story is for you. Anything you want to add to the end?
And I just want to encourage you, you know, if you're in this room and, you know, we go around and people always say, wow, that was really honest. Wow, that was really vulnerable. And we just say, that's our life. That's how we live. We would love nothing more than to live a honest and vulnerable life until we die.
That's right.
And it shocks people. But I want to encourage you today that if you have to do business with the Lord for anything in your life.
That's right.
It could be that you're here and you're like, I kind of get Simon. I've kind of had some hardness there, some judgment. Then do business with the Lord.
That's right.
And if you're here and you are struggling or you know, you heard us talk about what we're dealing with in our nation with the Conquer series and the epidemic, you know what? It doesn't just affect you. It affects everyone.
That's right.
And so, but you're not alone and there is hope.
That's right.
And so my encouragement is also, don't be afraid to talk to somebody about it.
That's right.
Because honestly talking about things and being honest and vulnerable is really the key.
Yeah.
There was honest and vulnerability with this wonderful lady and yeah. She walked away forgiven.
So. Yeah. Would you close your eyes at this time? I'd like to pray with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and the opportunity that we have. Lord, you invite us into your presence. And Lord, I even look at this woman. Still don't know her name. Someday I will. But Lord, you invite her into your presence. Lord, you're inviting all of us into your presence today. If you're here today and you're just sitting here thinking, oh, I get it. I get it. That illustration, help me get it. I see it. Okay, I understand now. I read the scriptures many times. I have talked about it. I've gone to church. But I get it. And today the Lord wants to do a work in you. If you're here today and you've allowed brokenness in your life to rule, maybe it's sin, call it addiction, call it whatever it is, that has separated you from God. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe you've been betrayed and you've held on to unforgiveness like, I can never forgive that person. Maybe you betrayed somebody and you walk with shame. Maybe you have done things. You're a young person here and you've done things you're not proud of and your shame is so high, but you would say, I can never tell anybody. Maybe today is a day that you can say, I need Jesus to stand in the gap for me. And I need that forgiveness. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. But today, you need the Lord to stand in the gap. If that's you, raise your hand. Right where you're at. Come on. There's hands all over the place. Keep those hands up. This is a moment in time. Just like this woman, you're coming to Jesus. And you're saying, Jesus, I'm going to give you all. I challenge you to give them all. Keep your hands up, please. I need you to be bold with this. This is not a light decision, an easy decision, but it is a life decision right now, right where you're at, that you are going to trust him. Let me just tell you right now, with those hands up, Jesus loves you. I know you might have heard that and sung songs about it, but you need to understand something. Jesus loves you, no matter what you have done. He loves you just the way you are. But he loves you so much, he's not going to allow you to stay that way. So if you can just put both hands in the air, if it's in a receiving position, receive this prayer as I pray over you right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for each person that's raising their hands. I pray, Lord, that you would just pour out your spirit in their life right now. Lord, where there's brokenness, I pray you bring healing. Where there's confusion, I pray you bring clarity. Lord, I pray right now for each person sitting in the seats, all of us, Lord, that we would fully comprehend what you have done, what that cross really means. And so today I pray in Jesus' name that your healing power would touch all. It would come into the darkest areas, Lord, the dirtiest places that this world would define. And Lord, that your light would shine and it would restore all. Let this day be a day, Lord, especially those who have raised their hands in the beginning of this prayer. God, let it be a new day. Because today is a new beginning. Lord, I pray your blessings over them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So I want to thank Terry and James. Was that a blessing to you this morning? It made me think that there is both gift and task in their testimony. Gift, the gift was just that transparency and honesty before us. The task is now for us to press into that together. And so if you have something that you need to work through, want to make sure you're aware that there's a prayer team available after the service to pray with you. There's also going to be a number of opportunities in this upcoming week. First of all, on Tuesday night, the crafts are going to be meeting with our 20-somethings to talk through some of the same topics with them. And then Wednesday night, we've got our young people, both our high school and junior high, meeting with them. And then finally, on Saturday night, there's a chance for you to come be a part of the marriage workshop that's happening, again, Saturday at 5 o'clock. And then they'll be back here next Sunday to preach again. So what a gift they are to us. And this is an ongoing week for us to move into transparency, honesty, and integrity. In the power of the Holy Spirit. So as we go from this place, I want you to receive this blessing. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Friends, I'll see you next week. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.